Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Matt in Southbury.
Hi, good morning. You guys kind of touched upon it already as far as getting to the table, but make sure you hit all of them because if you don't, people might pull money out of those envelopes.
Oh, yes, your appearance fee goes bye-bye.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox, Chaz and AJ in the morning. We're talking about Phil's wedding. He's getting married Saturday.
Yep.
We're giving advice.
Countdown.
Thank you.
That is a big deal. I know that personally we do that. Like, we traveled, we did everything, kind of at least say thank you. But what you could do, if you're worried about getting caught up in conversation and stuff like that, when you really just need to say, you know, thanks for coming, we appreciate it, we're glad you're here, it's nice to see everybody, which is all you have to say. If you have a maitre d', have him or her kind of usher you along. The guests don't know what else is going on for the wedding, so
that's
if
great.
You don't want to get caught up,
that's great.
Now it's the maitre d's fault that you have to move.
Or
that's
great.
You bring a timer. You put it on the table.
An egg timer.
You have it set.
Ding!
Go!
Yeah, what? I know this hourglass. This is how much time you have. Right. Sorry, Grandma.
Right. Go!
I love you, and we appreciate you being here, but only for the next 17 seconds.
Ding! That is great. That is great.
You know what? Try the timer. Give it a shot. That'd be funny to watch.
Yeah, you walk around with the photographer, so you don't have to do it twice. You say, hi, everybody.
Right. Smile.
Take a picture.
Right. Next table.
We'll talk to you in a bit.
Right.
Don't you submit your card, though? You give your gift before you sit down? Because I don't think you can go back and get money out. The envelope is sealed if you're giving an envelope. It's already in that stupid lockbox the venue has. I don't think you can do that.
What are you talking about?
You were answering calls, but at the beginning of Matt's call, he said, make sure you hit every table and say hello to everyone because we'll go back into the envelope and take money out for that.
Yeah.
It's a comedy bit we were just talking about yesterday.
Right.
No, I know.
Hey, Italians, we bring cash.
We bring cash.
We bring cash.
Exactly.
If the food's not good,
right,
we take money out.
Chicken was dry, that's 10 bucks out.
That's
right
it.
There.
10 bucks out right there.
Right. See, the thing is, I keep the envelope in my jacket pocket the entire time. I get that.
No,
the way
I like
out.
How actually, here's this thing. We were just talking about a bit yesterday.
Yeah, right.
She's like, oh no, you can't do that. She knows she's not going to talk to everyone at her wedding.
Yeah.
It's going to be, you don't get any money back. It's locked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no.
It's in a box.
That envelope is the last thing I do on the way out.
Oh, really?
Yep. I don't
you save it.
I hold on to it the entire time, yeah.
And then you do deductions.
I don't deduct, but, you know.
The chicken was dry. That's 10
yeah,
bucks.
Right.
Hey, yeah, because we cooked it.
Yeah.
Phil didn't come over and talk to me.
Yeah.
It's another 50
there's
bucks.
There's 20.
Right. And then at the end, you lick it and seal it.
And then
and give him the amount. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
AJ ghosted me in the kitchen this morning.
Why?
I was standing there washing my hands. All of a sudden, I just hear the steps. I turn around. I'm like, oh, that was AJ. Hi, good morning.
I'm going to see you again.
What'd you hear, flip-flops?
I'm going to see you in a couple minutes. I'm gonna say, hi, Phil. Washing your hands. How you doing? I let folks have their private time. That's a delicate moment in your life.
I'm in the office kitchen.
Their private time.
It's okay. Morning time.
Next time I'll walk up to you.
Some people like to ease into their morning. You didn't want to be like, hi, Phil.
Hey, Phil, wash your hands.
No, he's just always like Mr. Greeter. He'll like hold the door for people. He'll say hello.
He'll bow.
So when nothing happens, I'm like, oh, I upset AJ somehow.
No, you were washing your hands.
You know what it was? How much did you spend yesterday?
A bit.
In the suit.
Yeah.
Oh.
$5.75.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a good suit.
It's a good suit, man.
Very good suit, yep.
You're going to love it.
Very nice.
Yeah.
What color did you get?
It'll be styling.
Orange.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's a shame.
Tangerine.
Well, he could stand out in the parking lot.
Right, tangerine.
Direct traffic.
Right.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It's an orange cone.
I want it just like a daffodil. Yeah.
Two uses.
You'll see.
Brain, you have advice
like
for
the
Phil?
Nickelodeon Awards or something.
I had a buddy of mine got married and they put on the bottom of his shoes, help me. So when he went down at the altar, that's what it said.
Yeah, it was
funny.
They always say, check your shoes. Yeah,
that's funny.
Yep.
Enjoy, guys.
All right,
thank you. Later. Joe the barber.
Was that advice?
Yeah.
It was an idea.
Check your shoes.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah, man.
Hello. Hey, guys. Phil, the advice for you is just when you get into it, make the party about you and your future bride. have a great time. Everything should fall into place. Go around and meet everybody really quick. And just talk to everybody. Are you guys there?
Yeah. Are you going to say anything helpful?
I know.
We are.
I got an idea. Don't fill his time with boring garbage.
We are looking forward to a good time.
Are you guys doing the walk around to collect envelopes? Because I went to a couple where they have
mailboxes. We don't want to collect envelopes.
No.
Oh, my God. I played at weddings. And it's fine. You know, whatever you want to do at your wedding. But I played at weddings back in the day where they would do a dollar dance.
Dollar dance?
With the bride.
Oh, wow.
She had a bag and you just stuck money. You get a dance for like a minute and you stuck money in
there. I thought she was dancing and put a dollar in.
Yeah, this sounds different.
Is there a poll?
It's different styles for different people.
Gotcha, right.
All right, Joe. Thanks for the advice.
Very helpful, yes.
Hey, McGilla's on.
Oh.
Hey.
Hey. McGilla, former intern, lives in Florida.
Yes.
Part of the wedding
party.
Recently
bought a house.
Cool.
Hey, have you met Ashley? You've met Ashley.
Very briefly.
Yeah, I came up in August.
Okay.
And you still call here.
Hi, yes. McGilla.
Hello.
Ashley has a problem with the groomsmen not matching.
I do. In my opinion, all of the girls should match. All of the guys should match. Everybody should match. Matchy match. Same color. Same style. Same everything.
So I have been listening. I listen to the podcast every day, and I have
been
enjoying
it. It's like I'm just moving on from that nonsense.
He's smart.
No, I love listening to Ashley's meltdowns about what's going on with Phil's wedding. I think it's cool and unique. I don't know what the problem is. I mean...
You're
going
to have to Photoshop everything. Like, everyone's going to have to...
Why do you have to Photoshop
anything?
To make everything the same color. The photographer's going to have to go
Why would it have to be the same color?
And color correct, like, the entire wedding photos.
This is why I wrote the song Bridezilla, remember?
Yeah.
Boom.
Well, here's what I appreciate about it is I already have a gray suit, so now I don't have to spend money on a suit or a tuxedo.
That was
for
part
the
of the choice.
That's nice. Great.
Is there is so much money that goes into now, not just attending a wedding, but like being a part of it. Like if you're in the bridal party, like there's a lot of money. McGilla specifically is traveling from another state. My best man's coming in from California. Like it's a lot of money to ask people to just buy a suit that potentially they're only going to wear once.
Ashley?
All of my girls are coming. None of them live in Connecticut, except for my sister. So they bought their dresses.
Also,
all right. Well, they're secretly cursing you.
Definitely.
That's fine. But I also did that for their wedding. So
that's fair.
Part of the game.
Right.
I also think it avoids any headaches. Like I've never told this story on air, but we had kind of a nightmare. We rented suits from somewhere for my wedding.
It was.
And
I felt bad for you, man.
Nightmare. What is it? When I went to put on my pants for the wedding, there was a hole in the crotch, and they tried to put the blame on me.
Yes.
I was like, guys, I tried it on.
McGill's a big guy, but
someone else's pants split on the dance floor. They blamed him for that. Someone else's jacket, the whole hem fell out. He tried to pin it together. They wanted to upcharge him for putting pins in the jacket. It was a nightmare.
Is that a car rental place?
Wow.
I get it, and I'm prepared to fight that fight, but it is a necessary evil.
No, it's not.
Wait. Are we talking about Phil's wedding here? What happened?
It's not.
AJ predicted when we started getting into this. He's like, count how many times she makes it about her wedding.
Pretty much every comment so far.
I'm like, what are we talking about Phil's wedding here?
But here's the thing. It ruined... one of the best days of my life, you know, the fact that there were many issues.
Well, didn't you? You had a good day.
We had a great day.
It was a cloud.
It was just sort of in your mind the whole time.
Yeah.
It was in our mind, but, like, just think of if this happened to Ashley, what the meltdown would be like then.
That's what I'm waiting for.
Mushroom cloud.
I love her. I want her to have the best day.
Or else.
I know if there's, like, one piece of cheese not where it's supposed to be, ba-boom!
Yep, you will see it. They will feel it.
Ba-boom!
There'll be a tsunami in Japan.
Control freaky.
The toothpicks have to be the same color!
Ba-boom!
Right.
Ba-boom! That'll be my coat at the table.
Right. I'm going to wear two different colored socks now to your wedding just to see what happens.
That's wrong.
I want to know, though, what does Ashley think? I mean, we did something unique for my wedding. Myself and all my groomsmen, we wore navy blue Converse All-Stars.
Nice.
Did they all match?
They all match.
Well, then fine.
But they weren't. Okay. I just wanted to see about that because they're not like dress shoes.
So
or
it's
anything.
Just about matching.
Like, they're not formal.
So flip-flops, fine, as long as they match.
No. No, those are out.
Okay. Look at Phil's face. This is what's happened. Like, he's not on tomorrow. This is it. This is the last time we get to talk about his wedding.
As
until Monday.
Single dude, yes.
Yeah.
I'm just answering questions over here.
Mike, the best man, is on.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, y'all. Hey, I'm so glad to be on. I've been meaning to ask Phil, what color suit do I need to wear this weekend?
Whatever you want, brother.
Chartreuse.
Best man.
The same gray as everybody else.
Go with chartreuse.
I trust you to wear whatever you want.
Shade? There's like 50 shades of gray.
Whatever makes Michael happy.
Literally.
And blue or purple shoes? What are we going with?
Wear one of each.
Oh, purple. Perfect.
This is
with
so
the gray?
Wrong.
Yeah, go with that.
Mike,
one
how
of
long
our good
you...
friends who's officiating the wedding, he actually reached out to me the other day and said, blue or black shoes? I don't know.
Blue?
Blue works.
He has blue shoes?
Yeah, are they suede?
You can wear them.
Are they suede? Go for it.
Hey, Mike, how long have you known Phil?
Oh, we met in sixth grade. We've been friends for a long time.
Wow.
That's cool.
And you still agreed to do this, huh?
I know. I was impressed, too.
Hey, no problem being best man. I'm busy writing a speech here, but now I'm like, it's early in the morning. I'm thinking, what am I going to talk about with these guys?
Yeah, so the speech, what are you covering? How long is it going to be?
I'm at a very strict 6 minutes right now.
Nice.
Phil, I can cut it down if you need me to.
6 minutes. That seems long.
Wow. Mm. Can you go 4:35?
Yeah. Don't raise your glass at the beginning of this. You'll get tired.
Yes. Yeah. Just go right to it.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's great. What are you working in?
Oh, I can't give that away. Oh, you're going to be there,
what did you leave? What did you leave out?
No, that's a better question.
Hmm.
That is a good question. There's some things. I mean, we were the good kids growing up, but that doesn't mean we got into some trouble. Did Phil ever tell you about our spring break trip down in the Bahamas?
I think I did.
I love hearing this story, though.
Yeah, I got tossed out of a bar, literally tossed physically, not like, oh, you need to leave. And they pointed to the door, and I was like, okay. Like, they threw me
like cornhole
out of a bar.
What did
you
do?
You were playing cornhole with Phil.
I was blacked out drunk. We got off of a booze cruise. I was blacked out walking into this bar. And everyone, like, they're like, Phil walked into the bar. Get him! And I like, just disappeared. I went into the bathroom, and there was a guy, like, selling cigars. I was like, I need, like, 9 of these. And I just grabbed them. And then they threw me out of the bar, and I broke my wrist when I landed.
Wow.
So that was one night.
So this was one night.
Does this make the...
The greatest
hits? I guess if we're talking about it now, it doesn't make the...
That was cut.
Oh, it's on the floor. It's on the cutting room floor.
Oh, that sucks.
Senor Frogs. I'll never forget it.
Senor Frogs.
Still
we went there.
Back. Yeah.
Are you going to put in the part where...
Cigars.
Are you going to put in the part... I'm sorry. I'm talking over you. I won't do this at the wedding, though. Are you going to put in the part where he smashed the face of his hamster and then wrote with his
guinea
blood?
Guinea pig.
Yeah, well, he was pretty young at the time. That was before I knew him, but what a good kid, huh? Throwing his hamster across the room.
Oh my God.
As a red marker.
Guinea pig.
Yeah, he's like, oh.
He lived. We were good friends for a long time.
Smashed
after that.
Its face.
He called
the more I smash it, the more blood, more ink I get.
Yeah, it was called Ning Ning.
Such a generous friend and pet. I need red, he gives red.
Right.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Other side's brown.
Right. Too, Ashley. I didn't know what was happening.
You get brown on the other side.
You don't know what's happening now.
This is true.
No excuse.
This is true.
Spell victim.
Watch your stoplights.
I do have to say, it is good that the radio guys are going to be at the wedding. If I mess up at my speech at all, just take the mic for me.
No! No!
No. Yeah, you haven't heard the side of the room, have you?
You're on your own up there, buddy.
Yep.
Yeah, you're going
to
be great.
I have to say, I became a fan of the show when Phil showed me a video of AJ lighting a rocket out of his butt on 4th of July.
See, I was going to do that on Saturday.
Well, he's going to do that in the parking lot.
Right.
Nice.
I have them.
Protect that suit, brother.
I have.
I'll take it off, obviously.
That would be tremendous.
Right. Be a send-off.
All right, Mike, we look forward to hanging with you Saturday, and we know you're going to knock it out of the park with this. Phil's an easy subject to heap praise on.
Easy target. Go for it.
Yeah.
We're going to celebrate. let's party our faces off and celebrate this guy, Philly, and his beautiful bride, Amanda.
Yeah.
Yay.
Here, here. Yay. All right, Mike, see you Saturday. Thank you, brother. Gas prices nationwide reach a high of $4.36.
Wow, $4.36.
Yeah, they're so high now that John Heyman almost couldn't afford to get to the studio today.
Right.
Well, I was fortunate. Somebody drove me at his expense.
Nice.
good morning, Attorney John Heyman.
It's good. So nice to see you. It's been a while.
Yeah, Phil's getting married Saturday. Do you have any advice for him?
Get a good lawyer.
Yes. sign a prenuptial agreement.
Nice. Great. You'll keep that devil dog.
You know, it doesn't sound terribly romantic, but when things go bad, if they do go bad, you're protected.
It just shows you're prepared.
So I'm guessing you didn't have one. How many times have you been married?
Twice.
Twice.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long was the first one?
17 years.
That's a long run.
Yep.
Yeah. And I raised I raised three kids on my own from the first marriage.
Nice.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
She had issues.
Oh, okay.
She had issues. I don't know. So the kids
were Yeah. The kids were young?
Yeah.
So you good for you.
So you know, I can relate to single mothers, you
know. That says a lot about who you are.
Yeah, having to breastfeed was tough for him.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, she taped cans of milk to your chest.
Well, fortunately, they're above that age, but, you know, not that much above that age. But right.
Then the second marriage, how long did that last?
Well, technically 20 years, but really we were not really even living together 17 years, you know. So two long marriages.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah, well, second one was not pleasant.
Oh.
Second one was not pleasant for the longest time. So
I'm happy
to be free of that situation, you know?
Good for you.
Single successful guy, yes.
So when you got married the second time, did you have money?
Yes.
But you didn't think to get a prenup? Or
No, I didn't have the courage to say to her, you know, and it's foolish of me, but I didn't have the courage to say, let's sign a prenuptial agreement. I thought to myself, well, this is so unromantic, you know, and it would kill everything, you know. So
right. It seems like it takes the air out of the room.
You just got to tell him it's a permission slip. He signed his permission slip.
Man.
Well, I've had some interesting incidents after I became single, you know.
Oh, good.
Well, you know.
You mean like in a good way?
Well, interesting situations.
When did you become single?
Technically about a month ago, but we've been living apart for 3 years.
Oh, okay. Right. So you've been dating for 3 years?
No.
No.
No. Been dating for maybe a year now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
what's that like? I mean, it's you're a famous person.
Well, you know,
big time attorney.
You go to in my day, we used to go to a bar to meet a woman, and now I typically go to a bar and there's guys there, and if there's not guys there, there's a whole bunch of women and they're clustered together. So
it's hard to break them apart.
No, we travel.
They're all judging.
I yell fire.
I don't know how to break them apart.
Yeah.
And then the other place I used to meet women was at the gym. And in those days, people didn't have iPods, right? Now you go to the gym and everybody's isolated. So there's no communication. There's no social.
That's a great point.
Pleasure, you know? So
how do you meet someone?
Well, you know, you got
Dating
apps, you know?
Nice.
I'll bet if someone sees your picture on a dating app, they think it's a fake account.
Right.
It's like, it's
got to be an advertisement of some sort.
People just picture you not needing to go on
it. I have a story beyond belief.
Okay.
So I see this woman, we're texting a bit.
On a date, so you met her on a dating app?
Yes.
Gotcha.
And we're texting a bit, and she seems very pleasant and quite attractive. And I said, well, let's get together, because I'm not one who likes to text forever and ever, you know, just let's get together, have right. a drink, have dinner.
You got
whatever.
Through the first couple of texts where yeah, you think this
exactly,
person's fun.
Exactly. All right. So she was kind enough to, she lived in Fairfield. I lived in the Hartford area. So she said, well, let's meet in New Haven. I thought that was very
mid-ground,
decent
yeah.
of her.
Right,
all right?
right.
So I was in this restaurant and I was sitting at the bar having a drink, waiting for her. And somebody taps me on my shoulder and said, John, I'm so-and-so. I said, excuse me? And I look back at her. I say, this is not the woman I've been looking at the photo of, all right?
Oh, boy.
I said, I'm sorry, I don't know you. She says, well, I'm so-and-so. I said, you are? She says, yeah, well, I'm the mother of so-and-so.
Oh.
Oh, she's in a mom instead?
Yeah, can you imagine that?
Wait, she used their daughter's picture, or the daughter sent the mom there to, like...
I honestly don't know. I don't know if she used her daughter's picture, or, if, it, or if it
you
was
know,
her way well,
you
of
just
getting...
got up and walked out?
I was thinking of a filter.
Ship.
I was thinking of a filter.
Oh, look,
something.
I got a case I got to go handle.
Honestly, I'm a gentleman, and I said, I'm here, I'm hungry. I'll make the most out of a bad situation because I knew I was never going to see her again. But I was a gentleman, and we had dinner together, and that was that. But, I mean, these kind of things happen.
She used her daughter's picture.
Yeah. Well, she could have used anybody's picture. I don't know whose picture
oh,
that was.
Oh, she said it was her daughter.
She said it was her daughter.
Was there any
you know,
resemblance?
From that point forward, I didn't believe a word that she said. You
right.
know, I mean,
right.
when you
credibility
start off,
gone.
Right. Right. And, you know, nowadays, you know, you look at photos and photos don't reveal the true picture.
Yeah, no,
you know?
It's filters.
Yeah, they got all these filters.
Yep.
People look 30 years younger. People look flawless. And not that I'm not flawless or whatever, but, you know, that's how you judge somebody.
Well, you seem like you would be, you know, an ideal person to meet. Good looking guy, very successful.
Right.
Have to have some kind of stable life to run a law firm as successful as you. A lawyer.
Yeah.
Right? It's
yep.
all good.
Yep.
Well-dressed.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate yeah. all that. And we'll see what happens. There I don't know. I don't yeah. know what the future has
That's
told.
Interesting.
But I'm one of those people who enjoys being part of a couple. So I hope that
yeah, you like
comes
a partner.
True. I do like a partner. What, I like somebody to come home to.
Yes. What does your dating app say? What is the paragraph? What is the...
Your bio.
Your bio.
Honestly, my sister wrote it for me.
Oh.
All right?
Oh, really?
So,
it says we ride.
That's good.
Yeah. So...
Which one... can we look it up? Sorry, why we can look it up? Bill,
it's
are you
on
looking
Match.
Right now?
Look it up.
It's on
it's
Match.
On Match.
Yeah.
I was asking in here if he knew how to find it, so we're working on that.
Gotcha. Okay. Great. So yeah,
he's
pretty...
telling me no, but I feel like he does.
You know what?
He says, if you go down, I'll pick you up.
What's he saying?
He's saying no. No.
That'd be a great line. If you go down, I'll pick you up.
Or if you go down, I'll just stay that right down with you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll join you.
I love this friggin' guy. He's so real. He's a real guy.
Awesome.
That's what a good move that is, though, to have your sister write it.
Well,
I think guys go wrong.
All right, so
that's where they go wrong.
Yeah.
Writing
yeah.
it.
Yes, women
yeah.
will know what other women want.
Exactly.
Yes, for the most part.
Exactly.
Right.
As
long as she knows all your good qualities. Right.
Well, she knows my good qualities, and she knows she's been on the dating apps for a while, and she knows what people are looking for.
Right.
You know, and it was all the truth. It was just said in a manner different than I would have said it.
Right, right, right. right.
So she was my ghostwriter.
Like, I can't tell if it's a person or I'm buying a car.
But
low miles, that's it.
I will tell you something.
Decent condition?
Nobody reveals their true age on these apps. Right?
Really?
No, no.
Well, John, you're saying I can't search without creating a profile, and I feel like doing that a couple days before my wedding is not
a good idea. Ashley, do it. You got a couple months.
Oh, wow. That's it. What kind of a woman are you looking for? What's the age range, hobbies, interests, personality type?
Well, I like a warm, kind, sweet, giving individual, and I'm prepared to do the same in return.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
I like somebody who likes adventure and to travel and enjoys fun activities.
Right.
And
willing to sign a prenup if it gets serious.
Right.
Obviously.
Yeah, you got to mention that early.
This time around, that would be the case.
Yeah.
But right. I have never married a woman who was self-sufficient. All right. I get married and they quit their job and that's it. You know,
well, they don't have to, right? Would you want someone working?
They keep
because
going, I'm
you're
rich.
At a stage in your life now where you could take a day off here, take a day off there. Let's fly out over here. Let's do, like, if somebody's working, they don't have that luxury to call the boss and say, I'm out for 3 days.
Yeah. I understand. So maybe there's a happy medium, somebody who has some money of their own that right. doesn't depend entirely upon me
right.
and has a bit of freedom. So somebody... Yeah. Maybe who owns their own business and is independent.
Right.
You know?
And can move around and you know, do everything from a laptop or remotely or whatever.
Or works for you.
There you go.
That's where they have their own hours.
Right. Field my call.
You're taking off today.
I will tell you that my first wife was a divorce client. In those days, I was doing all kinds of work, and my first wife was a divorce client. And like, pow, you know.
It happens a lot.
We just hit it off immediately, you know. And
almost 20 years. It's a good match.
Yeah.
You know, people grow apart. Things happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about John Heyman's here. Let's talk about this ride you have coming up.
Well,
I know you're very passionate about it.
Well, I am very passionate. And you know the Heyman Law Firm has been involved for 40 years. Supporting the motorcycle community, and I'm so very proud to be a member of the community. We've done so much on behalf of charities, veterans. It could be the Pink Wig Run, you know, for breast cancer.
Yeah.
It could be for kids who are in need of medical attention.
Our experience has been the biker community is the most giving, generous community.
Always
well, you
there.
Said it.
Always
you said
there.
It.
Yep.
And I've done my best to try to bring to the attention of the public that you don't judge a book by its cover, because the cover doesn't show the true self.
Yeah,
and the
I typically
being,
like the know? Cover of the biker community.
Love the cover.
Leather.
Yep.
Motorcycle.
Yep.
Well, you know what I'm talking
love
about. Because I remember the days I used to have, we'd take a client to a trial and have to put them in long sleeve shirts to cover up the tattoos. And nowadays.
Now it's normal. Now the judge has a tattoo on the face.
Well, nowadays.
Just guilty.
Nowadays, we say if they've been in an accident, well, their artwork has been destroyed.
Yeah.
So, you know, things change.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, in the old days, women didn't ride motorcycles. There were a very small percentage of them rode motorcycles. Now, a good 30% have their own bikes. So it's a different community. You know?
Yeah.
And we have a lot of fun together. We go to a lot of parties. We go to a lot of events. And there's virtually not a weekend that goes by that I'm not supporting, attending, and promoting a charitable event, whether it's in Connecticut or Massachusetts.
Yeah,
nice.
I see the Heyman girls at a lot of these events.
Yeah. They go to all the events, all right? And my first wife, quite frankly, I'll give her credit for that, because when I first started doing this many, many years ago, first time I attended an event, I was in a suit and tie. Nobody came near me. They thought I might have been a cop.
Narc!
Narc! Second time, I dressed rather casually. A few of my friends came by, but nobody else. And then my ex-wife came by, and she was a former model, and she was wearing a mini skirt and high heels, and I'm handing out booklets, and next thing I know, the guys are coming by. You know,
Wow, I'm really bringing them in.
The light bulb came off. Right. Heyman girls, right?
They don't want to talk to dudes.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So if it takes, you know, attractive women to sell beer, it's going to, you know, it's certainly going to take more than just my ugly face to sell law, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But this coming Sunday, this is a special event, and it's usually the kickoff event of the year. It generally takes place in April, and fortunately it didn't this year because, and it didn't last year either because of COVID. But this year, it's a month later, it's May 15th, and it's the Blessing of the Bikes at the Waterfront Plaza in New London. It's previously it was held at the Ocean Beach Park, and now it's at the waterfront, and it's a great, great venue because there's all kinds of vendors there. You can buy all kinds of things from food to paraphernalia.
It's way more than just a ride.
Yeah,
it's much more than a ride.
It's like a cool flea market with a ride.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, you can browse, meet friends. Because this will probably be the very first weekend of really fine weather that we're going to have. So I'm looking forward to it.
Cool.
Blessing. Blessing of the Bikes.
Yeah, the gates open at 11. The blessing's at 2 o'clock. It's only a $10 admission. And I advise everybody to go. I advise people who don't even ride bikes to go because they'll have a great time.
Right.
And it's a friendly group of people, and everybody's going to have a good time. So I encourage it, and we've been promoting this event for I can't even tell you how many years, but it's sponsored by the New London Bike Club, the largest bike club in the state of Connecticut.
Wow.
And it's all for charity, and I could name off the various charities, but everything we do and everything we promote and everything we sponsor is only on behalf of events that support charities.
Right, that's
so
pretty
proud
cool
to say that. I do want to mention to you, if I have a moment, we created a new site, and it's called Two Wheels on the Road, and it's for bikers only, and it's on our website, and you can go to Two Wheels on the Road, and it's an opportunity for bikers to talk to other bikers, to communicate. They may talk about mechanical issues. They may talk about different
who has this part,
taken,
right?
And it's grown rapidly since we've created it. So I encourage anybody and everybody who has a bike and is interested in talking to other bikers or communicating and find out what's going on each and every weekend to join Two Wheels on the Road.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. There's nothing like, even if you're not a biker,
yeah,
there's nothing like hearing that roar of the motorcycles come by.
Someday.
It really is
someday.
Something
it's a
else.
Thrill. It's a thrill, isn't it?
I mean, really is.
Right. Someday.
So thank you, John Heyman, for coming in. Let's get you a woman. We'll have to have you back, and we'll do a dating game.
Well, listen, if you get any calls, let me know.
I'm going to write your numbers down, whether it be personal injury or women.
But this time around, I'm not looking for a terribly young woman because they're too young. But
age range?
I'd like somebody in their 50s.
Okay.
In their 50s, I think would be perfect.
All right. Nice. 50s. Yeah.
50s. Okay. Boom.
All right. Someone who's physically fit.
That has to be.
Yeah, you go to the
somebody who I look at their face and puts a smile on my face.
Right.
That's very nice.
Without being in clown makeup, yes.
That's very nice. John Heyman, thank you for coming in. Appreciate your support. We're linked up to this ride and all things John Heyman on the radio station website. Thank you, bro.
I want to thank you for your support over the years.
Always.
Immensely. Always here, man.
Always. All right, go ahead.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
So over the weekend, our couch in our living room is kind of like shaped like a V, and Chaz and I were going to take a nap together, and we were laying down where our heads were meeting at the V of the couch.
Hold on.
And he's teasing
We just got done eating.
Okay.
Wraps.
Okay. Oh.
So I had a ham cheese wrap. You had a ham wrap. Okay.
Correct.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we're going to take a nap.
Okay. So I'm laying down, and he's just like, you know, he's babbling, you know, sarcasm, shocking, and then he's pulling my hair, and he said something, and I laughed.
She's
really
leaving
hard.
Out.
No,
she's leaving out the part where she started all of this, and I said, "You know how this ends? You get upset because I win."
Let's just have
in
our post wrap nap.
You have
in
that
yeah.
post wrap nap,
right? I'm trying to lay down. She's looking at me with one eye coming around the pillow, and then she starts poking me, making fun of me. The next thing you know, I'm pulling the back of her hair.
Okay.
Okay.
This is like, what, sixth grade now?
Not hard, playfully.
Okay. Or something very different. Yeah.
So then he says something I don't even remember. And you know when you, like, when somebody says something, you have a big, like, you're sucking in a big gulp of air because you're about to let out a big, you know, laughter. And I didn't realize that there was a rogue piece of ham in the back of my mouth.
Ew, Jennifer!
Where?
I didn't floss, Phil. I was tired. I just laid down.
Like a squirrel. Then, where are you storing that?
I don't know. Apparently I needed it. I don't know.
At a gum pocket the ham was stuck in.
Ew. She doesn't
have any. There's a gum pocket.
She said that so casually, like everyone's just got rogue ham hanging out in their mouth at all times.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just there. And I didn't know it was there. I would have actually chewed it.
I would have chewed it.
That was just that was for later.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so a piece of ham.
A little snack for lady.
Exactly. A little snack for mama. So then I stuck in this big gulp of air. And, you know, it hits the back of my throat. And then it stimulates this giant cough. And I start coughing. And then the tears literally rolling down my face, dripping off of my jawline, boogers coming out of my nose. And my husband, not one moment was he concerned about my well-being or my airway.
You're laughing.
Okay?
I could not stop laughing. I haven't laughed that hard in probably 20 years.
Now, when she coughed, did she launch the ham out?
I'm remembering something here. Jennifer, I love you. But
what?
You deserve this one. This
what?
Happened to Chaz. You got home, you were starving, and you were eating cheese out of the fridge. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
The slice of American cheese? You told this story on the air.
I did.
You took a bite of American cheese, Chaz, and you started choking because you guys were arguing in the kitchen.
I remember this.
And she just stood over you and was like, you're fine. And didn't help you for 1 second.
No, I didn't. His airway was not compromised.
Yeah, see, there's a big difference over here.
You're sitting here all mad.
Yeah, she had
it's
ham.
The same exact thing.
She had ham in her throat. She had ham and
thank
cheese.
You, Phil.
Nice, you had ham and cheese.
Jess wasn't storing that anywhere.
Wow. You store that story like my piece of ham, Phil. Thank you.
You guys need to eat bologna. No more ham and cheese, you guys.
But I finally settled down because I thought she had spit in the back of her throat.
Right.
I finally get my breath, and she said, it was a piece of ham.
And I guess you died all over
another
again.
Another 10 minutes of uncontrollable. I thought I was going to have a heart
even
attack.
Even the cats came in and laughed.
So no nap for you guys.
Yeah, no.
No, we did take a nap.
She almost took a permanent nap.
I was afraid that I aspirated it. That's what it felt like. It felt like I sucked it into my lung, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm like, I don't want bacterial pneumonia.
From a piece of ham.
Pneumonia.
Yeah.
Pneumonia.
Was it good ham? Good ham. Hang on. I'll get it. Hang on.
Was it good ham? Yes. In your last segment, you were talking about a bounce house, and you said the word bounce. I was just wondering why nobody.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Did you hang up on your wife?
We got
a post-flubble click.
She must have went through a bad cell area.
More ham hit her.
All right. Let's guy by a giant piece of ham. Dylan in Middletown.
Mid-choke.
What's going on, guys?
Hey. Damn, what's going on, you?
Good morning. I got the most embarrassing, moment of my life. I did some prison time. Here in Connecticut, and it was during chow. They had this disgusting rice, but I made it really good. So anyway, I completely started choking on the rice, like in front of like 300 inmates.
Right.
Like almost died. I got up from my seat and I ran over to a corrections officer. His name was Matt Locke. Saved my life completely. But I started tapping on the other guy's shoulder first, and he thought, like, he got scared because you don't just do that to a corrections officer.
Right.
But he ran away, actually. He went to go get help because he found out I was choking.
Yeah.
He ran to the nurse, and I'm there, like,
choking,
half throwing up, half not, coming out of my nose. Disgusting. Matt Lott comes over and grabs me, lifts me up. The whole place went silent. Yeah, and then I threw up everywhere and saved my life completely.
Wow. And that was yesterday. That was tomorrow's dinner. That was goulash.
Yeah, it was, these big bulky guys, I'm a little kid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How long were you in prison?
I was only in for 7 months. They sent me to Cybulski, and I was there with Richard Kraft.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yep. I, yep. And,
did you say he was a great guy?
Yes. He was a great guy. He really was.
No.
Really.
Took one
outside
shot.
Of that,
what he did,
running
you know, 30
his,
years yeah. prior.
Yeah, outside of running his wife through a wood chipper. Yeah. Great guy.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Well, that's a big deal.
A lot of
do
woodwork.
You guys talk about you, that? You know, like when you're sitting near a famous inmate, do yeah. you say, so, what happened?
Well, he never spoke. Like he was, like if I needed a honey bun or something, he's the guy, you know? But he
what do
really
you mean?
Old.
He was your honey
he
bun
would,
supplier?
He would wheel and deal?
Well, yeah, everybody does, you know? I mean, you got to. You got to survive somehow.
So
I mean,
what do you got to do for a honey bun?
He was... nothing.
Okay.
So he was very quiet and he's a decent... He saw me choke and almost die, too. He was there.
And he didn't do anything?
We'll let the finger hit you.
No, he couldn't even walk. The guy was old, you know?
Oh, wow.
Right, he wanted to, but he couldn't do it.
Well, I'm interested with this honey bun. So you knew to get them from him, because why? He would collect them?
No, well, I mean, if I had, like, 10 soups and I was in the mood for a honey bun or something, you know, you go up to people and be like, hey, you guys want to trade or whatever. If I wanted to get a haircut, I'd have to pay in soups or honey bun or,
oh, okay.
You know,
what do you get, like, little, you get coupons for the soup?
Vouchers.
No, it's in, on your commissary, you know?
Oh.
You get, it's on your commissary, so once a week you get your commissary and then,
oh. So you store
you know,
them
people
up.
Don't
so I'm
going
to store up my soups,
you...
and I'm going to make a deal for a honey bun.
Right.
How many soups for a honey bun?
Basically. What's that?
How
many soups do you have to give up for one honey bun?
The soups were like 33 cents, so the honey buns were like $2.
Oh, wow.
Whatever that math is, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, wow.
About 4 or 5.
Wow.
Nice.
It's a whole different life.
You know, people would order, you can only order $75 a week. Worth of stuff, and then some things that you know, if I want a Jolly Ranchers and I didn't get Jolly Ranchers, and I have $5 worth of whatever, you know, I can. Hey, who needs hot sauce? You know.
Okay.
Right.
Wow. That's how it works.
What were you in for?
Kind of interesting.
May I ask?
Basically, yeah, you can ask. Basically, the same thing Johnny Depp is going through. My ex girlfriend was an Amber Heard.
Oh.
She
pooped on your pillow?
It's a new noun, an Amber Heard.
She turned on your pillow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She was an interesting character, my ex-girlfriend. Yeah. So, I mean, in the state of Connecticut, it's crazy. Ever since that case with the baby getting thrown off the bridge. You know,
which was Norm Pattis's case.
Yeah.
He was just on.
Yeah.
Right before you.
Yeah. That changed a lot of things for domestic violence in Connecticut. I know that for a fact. And it's really hard for a guy. I mean, men can be getting, you know, they're not always the abuser, you know?
Yeah. But there must have been enough evidence for a judge or a jury to say, yeah, we're going to put you away for a little while. No?
Yeah. No, I wasn't, you know, an angel. I was on, you know, drugs at the time. And I had a prior record for stuff. And it just, that was kind of, you know, that.
Yeah.
Wow. So, that would have been wild if you were in
for... the book at me and...
If you were in for 7 months and then you died in prison choking on your food.
Yeah.
I know,
bad rice.
I thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
I really did. And then after that happened, you know, I, what did they call me? They called me Rice Boy or something like that.
Yeah. Hey, choking.
They don't let you forget.
Choking.
Yeah, I went back to my dorm after they sent me to the hospital to get my chest x-rayed. I went back to my dorm and everybody was clapping that I was alive, and yeah, it was all, if Officer Matlock wasn't there, I mean, I think I would have definitely passed out.
Wow.
I was seeing stars and stuff like that. He was actually like, I think he got a raise or something. The other guy who ran from me, we never seen him again.
Yeah.
Never. I don't know if he got fired.
He kept running.
Yeah.
Yep.
He took off.
Never stopped.
So, all right, you're in the running for the Sammy Hagar tickets. Thank you for calling. Glad you made it.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so
all
much.
All right, Dylan. Thank you, brother. Mark and Seymour.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I'm glad that I had enough time to get gas and eat my breakfast before I got on.
Yeah, he's been holding half an hour.
Do you have a honey bun?
Sorry.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. And again, congratulations, Phil, on your
thank you.
Coming up nuptials.
It didn't
thank
happen
you
yet.
Very much.
This happened My middle son is 28 years old. This happened when he was 8. My house is the house like my parents' house was, where all the kids hung out at, you know.
That's cool.
Because, you know, this way I knew where everybody was.
The cool
so
house,
it was summertime, and everybody was playing football in the backyard. My middle son was 8 at the time, and I've been a Doberman Pinscher owner my whole life. They're great dogs.
Scary.
Very, very, very friendly with the kids. He just very smart dog. So he had a run that was along the side of the house, and the kids knew that's his space. And you guys, I had a big backyard at the time. You guys, you know, give him his space. Well, Jesse, that's the name of the dog, was getting upset because he wanted to play. And my ex-wife at the time, we were doing dinner, and the ball went over into his area. My 8-year-old went over to grab the ball, and Jesse had run around him like a cartoon thing.
Oh, no.
And the leash went around his neck like 3 or 4 times.
Oh, no.
And
what he said?
Kids, there was more than one football. So all of a sudden, his brothers, who are just a couple years older, and the other kids are saying, oh, hey, Austin, no, stop, don't move. You know, Jesse, stop, don't. So Jesse, he's all excited. He's got the football in his mouth, and he starts running towards him. Like a cartoon character, my ex-wife and I are looking out the kitchen window, and Austin's like about 1.5 feet off the ground, just dangling, turning blue.
Oh, God.
I run out there, and I had had a guy that taught me how to talk in a different language for a guard. He was a guard. He was a guard teaching guard dogs. And
can I
so
ask,
I
what
said,
kind of leash did Jesse have on? Was it a metal
he
wire?
He had a metal wire run, but the part that, thank God, that was on the lead to Jesse's collar was a strap.
Oh, because that metal, if you had a metal wire,
yep.
You would have saw that head just go flying across.
Yeah, I would have severed his neck off.
Right? Yeah, third football, yep.
So, I go and I give him the commands, and Jesse looks over. I wish I had it on film. He saw what was going on, and this is how close my dog was to kids. He ran over to him and stopped and slowed the process down. By the time I ran out there, Jesse had gotten over to my son, and he had put bit the strap. And loosened it because Austin was blue at that time.
Brilliant wow. dog, right? Brilliant
was
dog.
Was unresponsive, and he didn't let anybody near me, not even me. And he was just wiggling it, you know, saliva. And I'm like, Jesse, let me get in there. Finally, it was loose enough where I was able to get it undone. Austin had a strap mark around his neck that whole summer because it was just at the end of school.
That's hard to explain. That would have been tough if you went to school.
You know, when the dog's in the chest.
It wasn't my parents. It wasn't my parents.
Right.
Yeah. But he was on his all fours. You know, I got the thing off him, and he coughed, and he was breathing. But, you know, I go to pick him up, and Jesse puts his paw on his chest. And it's like, no, Dad. It was almost like, no, Dad, let me see him breathe, you know.
Oh.
And he's just whimpering. And so we get him up to take him to the ER, and Jesse was at the car. He's barking. He had
keys in his hand, ready to drive.
Dogs are the best.
It was
bark at the door. Yeah,
and after that, I as a contractor, I was able to bring him to the job with me all the time. He stayed home and never left my son's bedside the whole summer. It was something that really it sticks with me in my mind. And my wife, I was driving my wife to work this morning, and she says, you know, you should call up and tell him about how great Jesse was in that incident with Austin.
Man.
And, I had that dog for 15 years.
Mom. Yeah. Jesse said, please don't sue me.
I didn't mean it.
I did chest compression and everything, remember? I saved your life.
Yep. When Austin was born, he would somehow, without breaking the bassinet or the crib, he would climb in and sleep on the other corner of the crib.
Aww.
There was a really wicked bond with
very
that dog
special dog.
My middle son.
Very special yep. dog.
And good driver, too.
Wow. All right,
but
Mark.
Yeah, that's
thank you
my,
for.
After gas and coffee, that's my story, gentlemen.
There you go. Thank you for holding. It was worth every second. So we're doing movies that have memorable wedding scenes. Feel free to join in. Ashley doesn't like Joe's List.
No.
No, I don't.
She never
because
does.
There's one runner-up that I've already told him I'm into, but I just I haven't seen
right, we'll
any
get
of
to,
these.
We'll get to you in a second.
Right.
All right.
But you're right.
Yeah, take a number.
I don't agree.
Really, this isn't a young woman's list.
Read a Pibble.
Okay.
I don't agree. Okay. I haven't seen any of these.
Yeah. No, I'd be interested to hear what's on Ashley's list.
I could weld the door shut.
All right, so we got number one, The Godfather. Number two, Goodfellas. Number three?
Number three is sort of an homage to The Godfather. Deer Hunter opens with a long wedding scene where you meet all of the characters in that western Pennsylvania steel town, you know, and, you know, they're about to go off to war and... There's that really creepy moment where the bride dribbles some wine on her dress, you know, which is a bad omen. And indeed, it becomes a bad omen in the movie.
But I forgot about that.
I did not know that's a bad omen.
It's like the last happy moment of the movie.
Yes, it really is. And it's beautifully done. And it lasts, I think, about 15 or 20 minutes. And you don't get bored.
Is that the
because
scene
all the
in the movie with Frankie Valli? With the song, I thought they were in a bar.
They go to the bar after.
I think they go after. Yeah. And you hear that. Yes, they're
because they're about to be
other,
drafted. But... So that's why I think that's why they go to the bar, right?
Yes, and I think they, you know, it's been a while since I saw it. Don't they
Me
then
too.
Go hunting? They go hunting to sort of celebrate their freedom, and then there's a shock cut to them in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it just ends.
But the wedding.
Almost,
the
it almost
is,
they make it feel like it's
central.
A memory, like for all of them.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Like you're as the viewer watching it sort of in real time, you're like, oh, this is great. And then all of a sudden it's just like, boom, reality.
Yeah. I would watch that movie again because it's been so long, but it's so dark and depressing.
Yeah
it's so dark.
I rented Bambi instead.
That's a feel-good movie by comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was on our list of movies that are great, but you really can only kind of watch once. And I think, you know, you just know it is so bleak and the characters end up so badly that it's tough to sit down and watch it again.
Yeah. All right, so The Deer Hunter. So Godfather, Goodfellas, Deer Hunter.
Now, number four, I always seem to go to Quentin Tarantino on these lists, so I felt like I had to do the Kill Bill bloodbath wedding of Uma Thurman, which gives her her name, the bride, you know, and she becomes this avenging assassin slash killer.
Kind of a sham wedding, but I'll allow it.
Girls with Mazel Tov.
She uses a fake name and everything.
Sorry, Phil. Yes.
I'm guessing Ashley's never seen this movie.
Nope. No idea.
Yeah. It's like a test pattern in the other room right now.
She's stewing.
I'll chime in when I've watched a movie.
Can you Google that? We'll have to record her face watching that wedding scene.
Nice.
Oh, boy.
He didn't even say boy. He said, oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Ashley, it's great. The bride is barefoot, of course, because it's a Tarantino movie.
Yep.
Uninvited guests show up, and then they all beat the crap out of her for 20 minutes.
Well, that sounds like it couldn't have gone more wrong.
Apparently, they were tired of her demands.
Okay, like suits matching is a big demand.
That's not enough of this bitch.
That's basic.
Slap. Who cares if the finger sandwiches don't match?
I'll wear whatever color I want. Take that.
How are you going to park in the parking space?
These are basic things here, people.
I'm sorry, was that loud? Was that loud?
People.
Oops.
All right, so Kill Bill. We're doing the top five movies with memorable movie scenes. Godfather, Goodfellas, Deer Hunter, Kill Bill. And what rounds out your top five?
The Graduate, you know, which ends with the character of Benjamin racing to Elaine's wedding to try to stop it because he realizes she's his girl, you know, and he gets there just a moment too late, but she still runs off with him. I mean, one of the really memorable movie endings of the 60s, you know, and originally they were going to have him get there before she said her vows, but Mike Nichols thought it'd be more powerful if she decided to run off even after she said her vows.
Great move.
That when Simon and Garfunkel start singing, do, 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 do.
Yes.
Yep. I don't even know if I saw the entire movie.
Never seen it.
I just saw them with him banging the glass.
Oh, you got to rent that.
Yeah. I've seen the scenes.
Phil, you got to rent it.
Okay.
I just remember the most famous scene where, like, she's rolling up her nylons, you know? And
Leg is framing him. It was in the poster too.
One of the all-time great posters.
I think you're trying to seduce me.
Yeah, that line.
Yes. Yeah,
and I don't know if I
yeah definitely seduce me. Yeah,
I saw it,
yeah, definitely seduce me. Yeah,
I'm gonna write that down. So. I always come away from the Wednesday segment with Joe with some movies I want to watch.
Yeah, so. They should recut
it. It holds up. I watched it during COVID, and it does hold up. It's a funny and sort of melancholy movie. Really good.
They should recut that one scene, only Dustin Hoffman's Rain Man. Yeah, you're definitely trying to seduce me. Yeah. Yeah, definitely trying to seduce me. Yeah. I thought it was funny.
I could tell.
I thought it was funny.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.